The Plot, Part 3. This message is the third in a series of messages preached by Brother Amos on the 29th of October, 2005 at Assembly of Faith Church, Calhoun, Georgia. The beginning of this particular message was lost on the audio recording, but it merely reinforces the fact that the beginning move of God at this end time started with Malachi 4 verse 6b Elijah, William Branham. That was going to be the beginning point of God's dealership to get a bride at the very end. That was going to be the first move, and the principal move, because it is a major move, to get a people out of the denominational systems of religion, a people that would bear the revelation of Jesus Christ, and be called to be the bride of this last day. That was the beginning of God's movement. Therefore, having been called out of Babylon in which we were all scattered, and God starting a new thing by that move, it was important that God would entrench in the scriptures. For example, put in the Bible a prophetic statement, a prophecy, concerning the starting of his move at the end. That is why Malachi 4 verse 6b speaks of a restoring ministry at the end of time. Why? Because it is a major move. Therefore, God had to put it in the Bible, that the Spirit of God may unveil it and give understanding to the bride of Christ at the end time, to let them see what God is doing. And we could say, in the days of the prophet, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. But church, you have to realize that that was only the beginning of God's move for the bride in this last age. That was not the all. That is why it is important that we see the plot. So, yes, tonight, we have scripture that talks specifically and directly of one man's ministry, Elijah. But outside that, there is no verse of scripture you can go to say there is a specific man that God has promised in the scriptures, precisely and directly. None. No, there is none, except Elijah. But watch. When you come to the New Testament church, when God was going to establish that efficient ministry, there was nothing in the Old Testament which spoke about the fivefold ministry. It was a new thing entirely. It was a new dealership of God. Before then, God had been using prophets to convey every revelation of truth. Full stop. But here came the New Testament era. It was a different era. He did a completely new thing. And seeing you could not go into the Torah, for example the laws of Moses, and bring out the efficient ministry, here came apostles, here came prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. It was new. But Paul, looking back, having seen what God had established in that day, and how he established it, Paul seeing the logistics and the dealership of the Spirit of God, could say, God hath, past tense, set in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, first apostles, secondarily prophets, then evangelists, and on. Why? Because he was looking back. He could see what God had set, and how he did it. He could see the logistics. He could see the ministry, how they had been put in place. He could not bring that out of the Old Testament. It was a new thing. Therefore, it means this, if at the end time, there is going to be restoration, and we know there is, and God will use Malachi for Elijah to initiate it, to give truth back in accessibility to the bride of the end time, then it meant that restoration to the same efficient ministry was certain. Because the same word of God that we are restored to, guarantees and gives to us that same ministry. But watch, it means this, you and I had to look at the pattern set in the New Testament, how the ministry was set in place. Yes. So you cannot say, well, show me the scripture that says there is going to be a Raymond Jackson. I can show you Malachi 4 which says there is going to be Elijah. We know God sent Paul. But we are not told there is going to be this and that. You can argue over a lot of things, but the issue is this, do you see the pattern? That is the material issue. Do you see the plot? Do you see what God set in the first church age? And church, if that was the order then, it will be the order today. You cannot argue against that. Then it meant this, for you and I to be certain that the pattern of the ministry at the end time would be precisely the way it was in the first church age. That was why there had to come a vindicated witness of what God was going to do immediately the prophet was taken off the scene. But that is why Jesus said in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, when the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truths. He told you. He also said, the Comforter will take the things of mine, and He will show you things to come. So it is for the Spirit of God to show us what God wants to do. I said it is for the Spirit of God to show His move to the bride, what He wants to do. Because we are told the Comforter will show us things to come. He will give to us the things of God. He will teach us. That is why I said there had to be a vindicated witness. And Brother Branham gave three witnesses. Brother, the Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and write, and he relayed it to us when he was preaching on the Seven Church Ages in 1960. This is what Brother Branham said, and it is on page 170, the last line. One night, as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. As I grabbed a pen to write, His Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the Word and the Bride. Now we are going to skip to page 172, paragraph 4. He says, He did not complete His work while in His earthly ministry. That is Christ. So now He walks in and through the Bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for Him to do certain things that He must now do. But He will now fulfill through the Bride that work which He left for this specific time. Now, let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. A promised land is coming in sight even as this was. Now he made a crucial statement. Listen to it. Now Joshua means Jehovah's Savior, and he represents the end time leader, singular. I take it again, smile. He represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. Hold it there. What is a leader? That gives you headship after Brother Branham. The Holy Spirit told him, pick up your pen and write. There is coming an original leader who is like Paul, and who would also be an end-time type of Joshua. He would come to the bride at the end time. That is a prophetic utterance by the Spirit of the Lord to the prophet, and consequently to the end-time bride, pointing to a ministry to come, following the ministry of Brother Branham. You are looking at a leading ministry. What was the Holy Spirit doing? He was showing us things to come. Then I asked tonight, who fulfilled that? Did he speak just into the blues? Does it not have meaning? If you can quote Brother Branham on other issues, what about this? Is it not a serious quote? What is this statement supposed to do? It is supposed to post you and prepare you for the next move. And although you may not have a direct promise of a Paul in express terms in the scriptures, but seeing the pattern that God set in the early church and the kind of ministry He set, we can expect the same because this is restoration back to the original. And to show you that it will be precisely the same way it was ordained in the early church, God gave a prophet a prophecy concerning the end time original leader, a singular leader to come. And to let you know what office he would hold, he said he would be like Paul. He still pointed forward to a man to come. Where do you hang that? That lets you know what is to follow the prophet's ministry. Because Jesus promised, I will show you things to come, I will not leave you in darkness, because you are mine. That is what he is telling us. I will show you my move. I will let you know what I am doing. Because whatever God does is for His people. It is on our behalf. So, how can we be blind to the very things God is doing for us? Then I have to doubt that such a person is bride. It is obvious. If the people do not know, they do not know because the Spirit is not dealing with them, because the Spirit deals with the bride, and He is working on behalf of the bride, showing them those things that pertain to their peace, and for which reason God is moving for their blessing. So how can a person say he is bride, and not know what God is doing on his own behalf? It does not make sense. What was the Spirit of God doing through the prophet? Posting you and me ahead to the next move. That establishes one thing. There is going to be a Paul of today. That is what the prophecy in 1960 is saying. That prophetic utterance lets you know precisely, exactly, without a shadow of doubt, that there is going to come a Pauline ministry within the Ephesian fivefold ministry. And knowing that the ministry of Paul is the very beginning point of the entire Arephesian ministry. It is God's way of telling you and I in prophecy, I am going to start the way I started in the first church. You have got to see the plot. You have got to see the plot. Because I do not understand why people have a problem with Brother Jackson's ministry. And they are querying his position. They are querying his being the chief apostle. When the prophet was preaching on the seven seals in 1963, 3 years after he had spoken about the original leader to come, an end-time type of Joshua, he also dropped another witness. And church, let me say this, there is perfect harmony in the dealership of God. When God was going to raise up Moses, already there was prophecy concerning Moses, so people were looking forward to a deliverer. Is that right? But there was no prophecy concerning Joshua. That was buried only in the mind of God. Oh my! That was only in the mind of God. When the hour came for God to put Moses in place, he told him, "You will take my people to the promised land." Little did Moses realize there was going to come a Joshua ministry after him. He did not know that in the beginning. Now, we may say, well, it is because Moses sinned. But God could have overlooked that. But if God overlooked it, where would Joshua's ministry be? God is sovereign. He does what he likes. So we can say this, yes, Moses had to hear that Joshua may step on the scene as a continuing ministry, because in God's mind, Moses will not finish the work. Joshua would finish it because he is setting a pattern. I did not say God moved Moses to sin. I said God used it because that was going to set a pattern. And, brother, before God called Moses home, God let him know the next move. God told him, Joshua would be the anchor man, the standard bearer. And before God took away Brother Branham, he knew Raymond Jackson was the man. And he left that witness. Why did he leave a witness by the Spirit? That the bride of Christ can catch something. That they may not be blind to the next move of God, because that move is on her behalf and for her own prosperity. Then, it was important that God would move a prophet to give enough pointers, enough witness, concerning what was going to come after him, and to let you know what kind of ministry it would be. It would be a Pauline ministry. That is the chief apostle. That lets you know, brothers and sisters, the Ephesian ministry had to start with Paul's ministry. Simple. That is why for the past few years, I have been screaming for those who have an ear to hear, that, brothers, Brother Branham was not the Paul of today. He was an Old Testament type prophet. He was not an apostle. He is not part of the fivefold ministry, but his ministry gave birth to it. Yet, he was only Paul in terms of being the star messenger to this age. But he was not an apostle. But within the fivefold ministry, there had to be a Paul, because the fivefold ministry had to be a complete ministry. Entire and in the exact likeness of the original early church ministry. Because that is what restoration is about. Therefore, there had to be a Paul for today. Then I ask, Brother Branham has been dead for about 40 years. Did no one fulfill that prophecy? You want to throw it to the bush. If it is not Brother Jackson that fulfilled it, then I ask you, who did? You should be able to tell me who did, if you disagree. I am not asking those of you listening to me. I am asking those out there, because it is going on tape. Who is it? Somebody has to fulfill that. Who did, if it wasn't Raymond Jackson? At least, let somebody answer me that. Because we are talking of an immediate successor. Then tell me, who fulfilled it, if it is not Raymond Jackson? You have got to be able to see the place a man occupies, by the fruit of his ministry, the revelation he bears, and the impact of his ministry upon God's people. You should be able to see who fulfills something. After having told us that Paul will come, and to let you know he was not talking about himself, he said the person would be like Joshua. And Joshua took over from Moses, because Brother Branham is a type of Moses, a deliverer. He delivered us from denominational bondage. He said, "Let my people go, come out from among her my people, come out of Babylon, come out of man-made systems, come out of creeds and dogmas, come into the true light." That is what Moses did, and that is what Brother Branham did. But he said, there is coming a Joshua after me, the original leader of the end. That is a successor ministry. That gives you nobody other than the Paul of the end time within the Fisher ministry. And he has a name, and his name is Raymond Jackson. Brother, after having dropped such a witness, he was inspired to drop another one. But that is the promise of Jesus. I will show you things to come. He said, this is the spirit the world cannot receive, for they do not know him. Hallelujah. So God dropped a witness through the prophet. It is for us. And after that first witness, 3 years later, a second witness was dropped. It was dropped at a most serious hour, an era of time John was caught away to preview in a spiritual vision by God. That is the opening of the seals. And Brother Branham, in his God-given wisdom, waited to the very last seal to drop this second witness at an hour when the eyes of all the eagles of God were glued on him, waiting to see what was coming out. And when the last day, the day for the last seal came, what did he say? Let us read it on page 567, paragraph 4 of the Seven Seals book. It may be time. It may be the hour now that this great person, singular, that we are expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Why did he say we were expecting him? 3 years earlier, he had spoken about him. Oh my! 3 years before that, by the Spirit's inspiration, he had spoken about him. But now, he is confirming it again. You say it is not Brother Jackson who fulfilled it. Who did? But at least, you must be able to give me who did. But don't hang it in the air, because the prophet was referring to his successor. And Brother Branham has now been gone for about 40 years. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation, the foundation for his successor, within the faithful ministry. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us, not three of us. There won't be two of us here at the same time. They said, Brother Amos, repeal the book. Nonsense. Repeal what? Repeal he that is to come. Repeal truth. That is nonsense. Brother Amos, recant. I am recanting nothing. Is it Brother Allen that is the one to come? Or is it Bob Thompson? Why didn't they say that when Brother Jackson was on ground? I preached it at Faith Assembly. I took this very quote and laid it on the line before them all. Why didn't they get up and talk then? They knew better, with the chief apostle on the ground. Because that man was glad somebody saw something. It is not the smartness of anybody. And I am not the only one that knew who he is. But the ordination of God determined I would be the person to bring forth the revelation and share it with the world. And that does not make a man big in any way. We all have a part to play in the kingdom. May God just help us to be faithful. That is all. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good, for there won't be two of us here at the same time. If it is, he'll increase, I'll decrease. I don't know. But I have been privileged by God to look. Prophetic insight. He said he looked, not with the human eye, but with the eye of an eagle, into the spirit. Oh my! Why? Brother, the bride of Christ had to be given a witness concerning the next move. It is God's way of vindicating the scriptures to the bride, that God means to re-establish the pattern he set for the early ministry. What else do you see, if you're not seeing God re-establishing the same pattern? You have got to see the plot. Whoever does not see the plot cannot move on. You cannot. That is going to be your bus stop. I know in Calhoun, we do not have many buses because everybody drives. But in a place where you do not have a car, you have to go to a bus station or a bus stop to wait for a bus to come along. And some people, that is their bus stop, and maybe for the next 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours or more, there they stay. You are there in the cold, and no buses are coming. The bride of Christ is not in a bus stop. We are continuing. We are moving on, because revelation continues. Brothers and sisters, when he dropped that witness, as he was closing the seals, he began to pray. He decided in himself, I need to pray. I am going to pray now. But I have got to pray for the successor. Oh my! What is the prophet doing here? He wrapped up the revelation of the seals with a prayer on the successive ministry. He said, "I'm beginning to fade away. Lord, I know my days can't be too many more." Why? He looked by the eye of the prophet. He knew who was to take over now. No wonder, he told Brother Jackson. He said, "Stay with the word." He said, "They will go to the left and to the right. They will run after everything and preach everything. But stay with the word." He said, "There's work for you to do." He taught the Bible again on his car dashboard with Billy Paul as witness. He said, "Junie, stay with the word." Hallelujah. And people are saying, "How can a dead man give a commission?" He was not dead when he said that. He was not dead when he preached the seven church ages. He was not dead when he preached the seals. He said, "But I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was unfold to that much. I looked. I looked and saw so far. Oh my! I feel religious tonight. Oh my! Nobody can touch the joy of the bride." He prayed, "Lord, I know my days can't be too many more, and I pray that you'll help me. Let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere that I might be able to bear the message, not forever, but only as far as it's ordained for me to bear." He knew he could only accomplish so much, and somebody else would pick up from there. That statement in itself gives you continuity to the message. The prophet spoke here of continuity, message continuity. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down the sword, when I get down to the river and the waves begin to come in, that is the waves of death. Oh God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else, singular, and say to him, "Brother, carry on." And then you want to take that and throw it in the air? Somebody has got to handle their sword. Somebody has got to bear the baton. Somebody has got to bear the torch and lead the bride on. Yes. And it is none other than Raymond Jackson. You want me to recant? Forget about that. That is an impossibility. I do not care how many believe. I do not care how many do not believe. I just care for truth. Full stop. But I know God's people believe. That is the only true believers you have on the planet. The bride of Christ is a word bride. There is none like the bride. There is no class of people like the bride. There is no person that has the kind of airs the bride have. Why do you think there is no bird that can fly with an eagle? She is a different class of bird. No other bird can move with an eagle. We are not chickens. We are eagles. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. O God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and will pack the truth. And church, that brother packed the truth. Oh my! For 39 years, Brother Jackson packed the truth. What an astounding revelation he bore. He opened up the scriptures, from the first verse of the book of Genesis to the last verse of the book of Revelation. That man took us through time, through all the dealings of God. And they said, "Brother Amos, recant. My foot." The prophet continued, "Grant it, Lord. Unto then, help me to be strong and healthy and courageous." Who fulfilled that? You want to throw it in the air? It does not hang on anybody. It does. It hangs on only one man. Those three quotes hang on only one man. It is God. God is perfect in three. Three in the numerology of God is perfection. I said three is the number of perfection. God is perfect in three. Here you see three witnesses from the same prophet. He was not drunk, and it is not because he ate so much gravy with biscuits, and then got on the pulpit and began to say just anything that came to him. No, that was a revelated man. That was an anointed man. That was Elijah to this age, and we believe the witnesses he gave. Why have I gone back? I have gone back to let you know this. There are witnesses Elijah gave concerning the next move. He warned us ahead of the next move, a continuing move. And that is why I said, when God lifted that man, the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, his ministry became the dividing line of who is bride and who is not, from the time on till the time he passed away. Why? It is the next move. God used him for about 39 years to open up the scriptures, open up prophecies of the Bible, things that are buried, to give understanding of truth to the bride, bringing about the continuity of revelation to the message of Elijah. But he was also used of God to raise up a ministry of men with a potential calling. And all over this globe, there are men that God has raised up with a potential through that man's ministry. And you say he is not the chief apostle. Then what is he? Under apostle. We do not have an under apostle in the Bible. The Bible only gives you a chief apostle. He is called the apostle. But church, like we said yesterday night, we expected Brother Jackson to be on ground. If he was on ground like we expected, it would have been Raymond Jackson and other apostles making up the complete apostolic head. That would have been the course the ministry establishment would have taken. But it was only him alone that was fully established in the substantive apostolic office. That is, he was established in actuality and not just in potentiality. Then it meant this. In Brother Jackson's days, only one man was placed as head over the entire universal bride, as William Branham was the head over the bride, being one man. So was Raymond Jackson. Because until God establishes others in reality, and not just in potentiality, brother, you have to take the leadership God has established. But then, brother, that was the second move. But immediately he died, we realized it would not be Brother Jackson and other apostles. You have to chart a new course, a third move, because we expected him to be on ground. If he was on ground, the course of the ministry would have gone this way. Brother Amos points to the chart. The apostolic head would have been made up of Brother Jackson and the other apostles, and then through the established apostolic head, we would have had the other four folds of the efficient ministry, giving us a complete fivefold ministry. But it was never to be that way. Hence we have to cancel that ministry course. Brother Amos points to the chart. The area that has been cancelled with a yellow X, Y, Y, Y. I will tell you tonight as we move into John, God took away Brother Jackson before the establishment of the substantive efficient ministry. Why? It had to be that way because in God's mind, unknown to you and I, God was going to follow the precise pattern of the early church ministry. There was a Paul in the early church, but there was also a John that finished up the testimony of the scriptures. And brother, it was not you determining that. It was God determining the end time ministry would be in the precise sequence, and exactly as it happened in the first church age. How do I know that? Because God took home the chief apostle of today. But the chief apostle also left a witness, an open witness, of the next move, the third move, also a continuing move. But look at it. No sooner had Brother Jackson died, there came a strange ministry. We were supposed to move on to the third move. Because with the passing away of the chief apostle, it showed God was not going to do this one. That is, God was not going to take this ministry course. Brother Amos points to the chart. He was not going down this route. Are you listening to me? That is a route we expected, but it is cancelled. The route would have given us the chief apostle on ground, with the other apostles completing the apostolic head, and subsequently, it would have also given us the other fourfolds of the fivefold ministry. Are you listening to me? With Paul still leading the way. It never was to be. But God did a new thing, because God called him home on the 4th of December, 2004, last year. But no sooner had he died, instead of people waiting on God, and trusting the revelation we received from Brother Jackson, in the light of truth, they took their own route. If only they just listened to what he said concerning the establishment of the apostolic head, there would have been no problem. But people decided and determined, we will be that head. There is not going to be any head over us. We will take over. God's plan can step aside. We will take over. We have waited for so long under Brother Jackson. We can't sit under any other person. We can't do that anymore. This is our day. This is our day. I sat for too long. Do you want to sit? I can't sit in my own case. And the boat decided to form a joint standard-bearing ministry. And brother, they took over. But of what value is it, spiritual, Willie? If God has not given you something, you are wasting your time. But church, that produced a strange ministry, because we cannot call it the fivefold ministry, for it is not. They do not even believe it anymore, because they said evangelists and pastors will perform the role of an apostle. Yes, because they will bring out new revelations. That is what they said. So they do not believe in a full-fledged fivefold ministry anymore. They do not even believe we will know apostles and prophets. I ask you, what will you call this kind of ministry, when men do not call themselves apostles, but nonetheless, they are ruling every ministry in the Jackson following, and everybody has to apologize to them? Oh, we are sorry, we didn't mean this and that. Oh, please. This is an equating spirit. It is the Antichrist spirit before you. Brothers and sisters, thus saith the word of God. It is not about personality, but do not mess around with the Antichrist spirit. It will destroy your life. You cannot call it anything other than a strange ministry. The Branham movement has a false fivefold ministry, but this one is not even in the semblance of the fivefold. It is strange. They do not believe in a fivefold, and yet you have a committee of two men set to rule the ministry. And how many times have you heard Brother Jackson say, God never set a committee of men to rule the bride, men using their carnal brain to lead the bride. It has always been by the Spirit of God, in the light of truth, through the true ministry. Because we are not following flesh. We are following a revelation. That carnal move of the Ministry of Faith Assembly produced a strange ministry. Let me tell you this. It lumped everybody following them together with this crowd, the false bride within the Branham movement. Brother Amos points to the chart. They are in the same shoes. They are worse actually, because unto whom much is given, much is demanded. There is no ignorance, they can plead. But I ask, how can a people sit under the chief apostle for 50 years, and then stand for a two-man leadership committee? It is incredible. So, at the end of the day, they can look at the Branham movement and say they are chickens, but they are in the same category. In fact, they are worse. This is not about personality, and sentiment does not work. It is about truth. We pray God would open the eyes of His people, but that is in God's hand. But we have to follow the light. It is a strange ministry, and it is designed to derail the plot God has charted out in the Bible. It is being done by the spirit of the Antichrist to upset God's plan. But brother, you know, that never has a devil, nor has anybody ever been able to upset God's plan. God is sovereign. His will always prevails at the end of the day, because God is not a man. He made the universe. He is the fountain of power and life. When He decides to do a thing, who can stop Him? The Bible says, when He lets, who can hinder? When He blesses, who can cause? When He opens a door, who can shut it? Absolutely no one. Church, that is why it is impossible for us to have unity with a strange ministry. It is over. We are obviously walking on different paths. They have chosen their path. It is not our fault. They heard the same chief apostle, but they chose their own pathway. But by God's grace, we decided we are following the light and are standing for truth. We will not stand for friendship. And longevity of a ministry has no spiritual value if you are not established in truth. And it is not how long you have been with Brother Jackson. It is what your revelation is that counts. Brother, but the issue is this, what would be the next move? With the death of the chief apostle, I say, we have to look in the scriptures. You know why. If God, already, through the prophet, had confirmed the chief apostle's ministry taking over from him, establishing and confirming to the bride, that God intends keeping the pattern of the early church ministry, then you and I, with the death of the chief apostle, have to look at the pattern of the early church ministry, to see what God did, after Paul passed off the scene. And see the ministry that took over from Paul. And that was none other than John the beloved apostle. He took over the Ephesian church as a successor standard bearer after Paul. His ministry record wrapped up the accounts of the Bible. And church, the Ephesian church, being an original POC church, did not reject or question the standard bearing ministry of John. They received him and embraced his continuity light, the only lighthouse that ever moved on to embrace for the light. They could do that because they were run a regional APOC church. That is why I wrote in my book, The Way of Every Lighthouse, I said, after the first church fell, no lighthouse ever moved on beyond the light of their day, beyond the light borne by their founder. Only the first age efficient church embraced for the light before she passed out. And this will let me say this. Faith Assembly will not move on to accept any continuity. They will not move on. You know why? It is God's law of reproduction. Until you come back to seed, nothing on the bright tree can be seed. Nothing. And nothing outside truth can be seed, even though they have been carriers of the life. That is why till you come to seed, nothing can move forward because nothing can change its position. A branch will remain a branch. A leaf will remain a leaf. A leaf will not change to become seed. Hallelujah. You have got to see what God is doing. You have got to see the plot. You have got to have an understanding of what the Spirit is doing in the light of truth in bringing the bride to glory. Brother, in 96 AD, Christ told the Ephesian church, unless you repent, I will remove your candlestick. What does that tell you? Another standard bearer was planted in Ephesus, and they received him, because the candlestick was John. Because of the opposition, let me back down a little and say this. Well, Brother Amos, the candlestick is the church, but the candlestick is also the ministry. If the Lord is addressing the church and he says, your candlestick, singular, what does he mean in that instance? He is looking at the ministry that bore the standard because it is the life of the church, the light of the church. Come back to Daniel chapter 7. There were four beasts because there were four kingdoms, four beasts empires, and there were four kings. So you see the beast represents kingdom, but it also speaks of kings. Verses 17 and 23 confirms that. So also candlestick. It stands for the church, but it also represents the ministry. Because Christ said no man that lights a candle puts it under a bushel, but puts it on what? On a pedestal, that it may give light. The light of an assembly is the ministry. By virtue of the light of Christ it bears, just as Paul was set as a light to the Gentiles. Church, the Ephesian church, was the first church and the only lighthouse to receive continuity revelation and follow for the light. Why? They were the original, the POC church. And church, I thank God tonight that we can see the light, brother, and we are following truth. Brothers, this is the last phase. This is the third and final phase. But church, how did God ramp up his dealing with the first church age? It took a Paul and it took a John. The ministry of the successive standard bearer, John, wrapped up the account because a few years later, God called John home and the light went out and the church went under and the church was taken over by the Antichrist spirit and was led into Babylon because the seed had to die to reproduce many more like seeds at the very end. And saints, we are the seed hour. Oh my! We are the hour of seeds and our fruit is showing. Why? Because we see the light and our heart anchors there in the light. Brother, this is the seed hour. This is the day of the bride. This is our day. It is the last move. John gave the last move in the first church and the John of today will give the last move in this end time church. Brother, 3 is the number of perfection. That is why I said, you look in the mirror of the word, you will see John after Paul. And if God ordained the original leader at the end time, the Paul of today, Raymond Jackson, then there has to be John thereafter. Because John wrapped up the Bible account, and brother, his ministry went out with a prophetic bang. He received an outstanding prophetic dealing. I preached a message in Lagos. The ministry of John is the ministry of angels, because it took angels to convey various prophetic sayings to him. Brothers, one angel was coming after the other. Read the book of Revelation. Brother, the number of angels that took John around, and also that John saw, giving him prophetic revelation, was innumerable. Brother, we will have a repeat. When you know that, your heart looks forward with great expectation. And let me tell you, The ministry of John will be filled with marvelous and miraculous prophetic dealings. Why? It is God giving the bride at the end a supernatural dealing, giving us prophetic insights we never thought of, insights we never had. Brother, when angels came on the scene, they gave John what he never knew was in the spirit realm. Brother, the ministry of John was a bang. God took him into deep prophetic things, and his ministry closed the first church age written testimony with a prophetic bang. The first church age went out with a bang, a prophetic dealing. It will be the same, because the glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. This is the very end. This is the very end. Therefore, my brethren, that is why I believe with all my heart that following the death of Brother Jackson, the chief apostle, we cannot follow the present day ministry of Faith Assembly. We cannot. We have got to look at the prototype and see how God moved on after Paul. It was John. Church, Brother Slugs, it is marvelous that God in his mind has determined to have everything wrapped up exactly as it was back then. Do you know that everything is working to type? All the scenarios taking place tonight are mirroring the first church age scenarios, even as concerning statements that somebody will not die. Peter said John the beloved apostle would not die. Are you listening to me? Peter informed the saints that Jesus said John would not die before the rapture, and Jesus did not say that, for that was not what Christ meant. Yet, nobody killed him and told him to recant. Think about it. And brother, at the end time too, we are talking about somebody not dying before the rapture. And people do not have wisdom to know how to relate to it. Let me say this tonight as I move on. Nothing is error until it is outside scripture, or there is a prophecy concerning it. I have given an insight to my brethren on this fact, and I will give it again tonight. Until something is contrary to the Bible, nothing is error. You would have to show me what somebody has contradicted in the scriptures. Look at Los Angeles. There is no Bible verse that lets you know Los Angeles is going under. There is no scripture for it. No, not one. But there is thus saith the Lord through Brother Branham, that Los Angeles is going under. If a brother stands up tonight and says, Los Angeles is not going under, that is error. It is error, not because there is a scripture on it, but because there is a prophetic utterance by a vindicated ministry, the prophet to this age, on it. Therefore, until there is a scripture on an issue, or a true prophetic utterance, nothing is error. Nothing. Then, before you accuse me of error, you have to show me the Bible verse that gives the lifespan of the chief apostle of the end time. If there is no Bible verse concerning his lifespan, nothing is error concerning his longevity. Except you can also show a prophetic utterance that gives his lifespan, outside of scriptural revelation, and a prophetic utterance by a vindicated ministry. Nothing is error concerning the lifespan of the man, and saying a man would live until rapture does not take away any revelation of the Bible we have received at this evening time. It doesn't. So you must know how to relate to things. What I am saying therefore is this, all the things that went on in the first church is being replayed tonight. It is being repeated tonight. We have the manifestation of the angels in the first church, to wrap up the account of John's ministry. Go and read it. I had to go into it in the church back home. The angels that came to him were serious. One after the other, different angels, giving different insights. Church. Then I ask, why is the angel of Lord manifesting at this end time, and the cameras are catching him, if God is not doing something? If it is not pointing to something, you better wake up. I do not say that to you, my precious brothers. I say to show that God is on the move. You have got to see the plot. Church, with the move of John, that gives us the third and last move. It gives us continuity. It gives us continuity. But remember this, John is not going to be the only man. God may initiate the move with one man, because God starts with one man, but there are other men. And there will be other men in the ministry. And I say tonight, there are other men, who together with John will make up the apostolic head. And church, unity will come by them, because God is going to use them to pull the people together around this globe, on the basis of truth. Think about it. But let me say this quickly, because of time, and because I do not want to belabor it. Brother Jackson has said often and often, over and over, that the birth of anything gives you first the head. He said, there is going to come the apostolic head, but they will take somebody's message. That is Brother Jackson's continuity message, and they are going to put this thing together, but it will start with one man. But what church? God has got to start with us in the true bride, first with the apostolic ministry. He will give us plural men as apostles. I am going to say some things tonight, and I care less what they say out there. You know why. Brother, the dividing line is on already. It is already on. So we do not care what all these people in the opposition say, because God is already moving on. God has already moved on. I said the dividing line is on already. It does not matter what all of them say. The bride is moving on. It is irrelevant what they say or feel. We are just following the light. But look at the book of Acts chapter 13. In the beginning, in the first church age, may God help me tonight. I appreciate your patience. Acts 13 from verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord, and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Hold it there. In Acts, we see how the Lord dealt with Saul on the way to Damascus, and God raised him up to be an apostle. He bore the standard. But there was Barnabas, an apostle. Barnabas was a man. He was a very humble man. I want you to see something tonight, because God is doing something before your very eyes. Open your eyes. I do not speak for those out there. I care less for what they will say concerning me, but I want you to see something. Barnabas was a humble man, very revelated, very general, a gentleman. His brand of ministry, though an apostle, was very meek, for he was a very general person. He was different from Apollos. Apollos was a firebrand, but Barnabas was revelated. Oh my! He was very humble, a brother. When God raised up Saul and made him the chief apostle, he stood with Paul. He did not mind, because he knew it was the will of God. He was a faithful man, and a humble man, a man who was not looking for fame, but was just content to do God's will. And as long as God was happy with something, he was happy. Brother, when Saul was converted, and the apostles heard of it, and Paul tried to join the saints, everybody ran away from Paul. Barnabas took brother Paul. Listen to me. He took brother Paul. He took him to the apostles and told them, he is a brother. He is a brother, so let him be. Yet he, Barnabas, was not to be the chief apostle. He was to stand with the brother. He was to stand with Paul. But he introduced the ministry of Saul to the saints. And yet, the man he introduced was going to be a man he himself had to follow. Barnabas, a humble man, a faithful man, and a revelated man. Let me say this. An apostle must be a man that has an eagle eye. An apostle must be a man that has sharp spiritual senses, that is, a high level of discernment. An apostle must be a man, hallelujah, that has clear thinking, because he is a God and he is a guide, because he is a leader. I said he is a God and he is a guide. That is the ministry God uses to show the way, and to convey a revelation, and establish truth for God's people, and to hold a line on truth. Brother, the level of discernment for the apostles is serious. Church, they have an eagle eye. It has to be. They have to be revelated and have sharp senses. Why? They have to be that because an apostle is one that holds a line on truth, to keep it pure. It does not matter where God positions them. Brother, they will have a single eye. They will know what God is doing. They are the ones that will lead the bride into what God is doing today. They will bear the pure revelation of truth for the people of God. And wherever the apostle is, he is a light, wherever. Look at Barnabas. His ministry was different from Paul's. But look at the humility of that man. But you see Apollos. That was a firebrand. But I want you to see something else. Come with me. So here we see Barnabas, we see Paul, two apostles. But I want you to see two other brothers. I want you to see Andronicus and Eunia. Hallelujah. Let us go to Romans chapter 16. I will try and wrap up my message tonight, but I will just try to bring it up to a suitable place. Romans chapter 16. We will take just a verse. Verse 7. This is Paul writing to the Romans. Salute Andronicus and Eunia, my kinsmen, watch, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Let me say this tonight. If you ask in the message, who is a pastor? A lot of men will raise up their hands. But if you ask, who is an apostle? They will crucify you. But why? An apostle is just as real as a pastor. It is not pride to be an apostle, no more than it is pride to be a pastor. If the first church age knew the office of these men, and identified them, and called them by their office, the church will end up the same way. It has to. It is not boasting. It is not pride. It is scriptural reality, because when Christ said he is going to give apostles, he meant that. Then it means he expects the bride to know apostles. It is not a boast. It is not pride to say someone is an apostle. It is a matter of understanding. It is perception, spiritual perception. May I say this tonight, if we can read of Apostle Eunia, and Apostle Andronicus, and Apollos, and Barnabas, and Paul, and Peter, and James, and John, why would we not know the apostles of our day? Why would we not know the apostles of our day? Why would it be a mysticism? Why would it be that? Before I lay something before you, I want to show you something. An apostle is one sent with a message. In Acts chapter 1, here, Peter went into the Bible. I was saying it yesterday. He went into the book of Psalms, he brought out an ugot. When an issue developed in the church in Antioch, and they brought it to the apostles to see what their stand would be, in order to verify truth, James, an apostle, went into the prophets and brought out an ugot for the day, and laid it on the line. Jude, an apostle, he wrote only a small book, just one chapter, but the Spirit of God took him through time, revealing to him what angels did in the prehistoric world. Oh my! He went through time, and he caught a prophecy of Enoch, and brought it, and left a witness. An apostle. No one is an apostle without a true revelation. He is a man with a message. Then I have to ask you tonight, what do you see in Calhoun? Brothers and sisters, I declare to you tonight, the man that God has used to bear a light in this place is an apostle for America, and his name is Alvin Suggs. If by the grace of God I could recognize and declare the chief apostle, I am by the same grace recognizing and declaring an apostle. I care less for what they say out there. Remember, I did not give Brother Jackson his ministry, and my declaration is not what gave him his ministry. My declaration only serves to help God's people see something, for I cannot give any man any ministry. I can only identify something. But the man you see, Brother Suggs, did not look for fame. He ran all his life from the ministry. But that is the kind of man God is looking for. People who do not want it, because they are people that are humble and will do God's will. Men who have no secret design or selfish objective. Men that just love to serve God's purpose. That is why I said, when the issue of he that is to come came on the ground, he knew where the truth lay. I said he knew where the truth lay. He wrote a letter, Brother Amos, your perfect and infallible revelation is about the man that fulfilled the quotation. Am I right? I said, you are right online. His stand tonight is the same stand we have back in Nigeria. This is the beginning of something. Open your eyes. Brothers, this is the beginning of something, because I tell you this, God would have to place men first. It does not matter what they say out there. Brother, they have already derailed themselves, so we care less for what they say. They will try to mess it up with mockery. They will make fun of everything, but I care less for that. But I tell you tonight, apostles will not be invisible. And note, a man's ministry is what tells who he is. I want to show you something, but I can't go into it tonight. just pray for me. We will see it tomorrow morning. But the fruit of a man's ministry shows who he is. How come we know Brother Jackson is the chief apostle? It is the fruit of his ministry that lets us know. Let people say a man is this or that. If you test it and there is nothing there, you lay it on the shelf and you move on. But because Brother Jackson borrowed truth, an evident truth, he borrowed a message, he borrowed an understanding, a revelation, and his ministry impacted the universal bride, then you can tell he is an apostle, and in fact, the apostle. He went beyond the borders of America. He went all over the globe, and God used him to raise up an army of men. That is why I said, God is not going to use John to raise up anybody. They are already raised up. There is no time. It is finito. For example, we are at the finish. We are at the very end, but there are men that have been raised up potentially. Brother, this is an hour that God is going to pull them together. Truth will do that, because Christ said, if I be lifted up, if truth is lifted up, I will draw all men ordained to be in it. Truth is the attraction. Truth, I said, is the drawing cord, the attraction. Wherever they may be, when those men ordained as apostles lift up the sound of true revelation, it is a call to every man called to and ordained for this efficient ministry, and they will begin to lay their hands in support. Brother, we are standing with you. Brother, we are standing with you people. If only you can see. Tonight is the beginning of something. Shine your eyes. That means open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. This is the last move. Something is going on tonight. It is not to lift up the flesh. For everything God does has a beginning. The issue is, do you believe what God says He will do? Do you believe the fivefold will be a reality? It will not be an invisible ministry. This is what the third move will usher in. In this third and final move, you will see the ministry put together on the ground, live. Church, God is doing something. God is going to lift up John. He is also going to lift up other apostles. They will complete the apostolic head. That is going to be the wake-up call to other men ordained in the fivefold, because one by one, people will begin to identify them by the continuity of truth they stand for. It is a united stand they will have, and men will begin to think, yes, that's where I will go. That is what Brother Jackson said. And men will say, for me and my family, we are going that way. Yes, it is a new way, but it is a continuity way. And church, may I say this, is a way we have never walked before. We cannot walk it by ourselves. We have got to walk it strictly according to the blueprint. You must follow the plot. You have got to follow the plot. If you do not see the plot, that is your bus stop. You won't move forward. And whoever does not move forward must face the Antichrist. I wish we had time. There are some serious things God is going to do, because there are no consolation prizes. If you do not make it in the bride, may God have mercy on you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. May the Lord bless you. Amen.